As the bloodshed in the ongoing Battle of Gaza entered its fourth week, more than 1,060 Palestinians in Gaza, more than 70% of them civilians, have been killed, with more than 6,200 wounded, according to the United Nations. Israel has lost 53 soldiers, the largest toll since its 2006 war with Lebanon. Hamas mortar and rocket attacks from Gaza have killed two Israeli civilians and one Thai worker in Israel. After Israel rejected a ceasefire draft proposed by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, the U.N. Security Council called on July 28th for an immediate and unconditional humanitarian ceasefire in the Gaza war, joining a similar call by President Barack Obama a day earlier. In rebuffing international demands for an end to his nation's military assault on Gaza, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said in a televised address, quote, "We will not finish the mission, we will not finish the operation, without neutralizing the tunnels through which Hamas fighters have sought to infiltrate Israel." For its part, Gaza's Hamas government is demanding that any ceasefire include an end to the economic blockade, the easing of travel restrictions, and the release of Hamas members who were jailed after the killing of three Jewish teenagers in the West Bank last month. The Israeli military operation, known as Protective Edge, continued the destruction of targets in Gaza that included underground tunnels, suspected sites of rocket launchers and arms caches, and the homes of Hamas leaders. Several Gaza hospitals and UN-operated schools used as shelters have also been attacked. In addition, Gaza's only power plant was shelled, cutting off electric power for vital services, including water and sanitation. Your reporter spoke with citizen activist, author, and four-time independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader, who observes that the ongoing Gaza conflict is an inevitable result of Israel's suffocating economic blockade and more than 45 years of illegal occupation.
Well, as the Israeli peace movement and the Israeli soldiers who are now called refuseniks, they basically say, if you end the occupation, end the siege, the blockade, the restrictions on food, medicine, electricity, water, construction materials, and let the economy develop a little bit in Gaza, that you won't have this frustration that builds up. And, of course, the Gazans get the attention when they send the rockets. They've sent over 2,000 rockets, and they haven't killed one person in Israel. Two have died in Israel, one from a heart attack and one from a mortar near a tank. So luckily for the Israelis, these are the most inaccurate dud-type rockets imaginable. But they're the ones that give the excuse for the Israelis to pound with precision artillery and missiles the Gazan people. And it's just a small area, twice the size of the District of Columbia, has 1.8 million people there. And it's been called by friend and foe alike the world's largest open prison. And so day after day, you have children severely ill because of anemia, because of malnutrition. That doesn't make news. Day after day, you have seizure of Gazans who are put in jail without charges. That doesn't make news. Day after day, you have people in the military in Israel taking the lives of Gazans, like they'll kill a farmer tilling a little piece of land. Oh, gee, the farmer was menacing. And that doesn't get any news. So after a while, the Gazans feel like they're suffocating, and they have some sort of pride that they have to resist this kind of domination. I mean, what would we do if a giant power dominated us like that, carved up our land, besieged us, kept the necessity of life away? So the American people are not getting that kind of story. And they're getting stories like all the Hamas are nothing and Gazans are terrorists. The Israelis are people who are defending themselves. Well, you know, when you have a giant power, the fourth most powerful army in the world, right on top, stomping on what a Israeli newspaper columnist in Haaretz called a completely defenseless people. I mean, who's got the responsibility to stop the fighting? Who's got the responsibility to stop the illegal siege, the blockade, the restrictions on water and electricity and medicine? People in Gaza have cancer. They can't get the medicine. People want to feed their families. They can't feed their families. So we need the USA to step up. President Obama mouths the AIPAC oath every time something like this happens over there. Well, Israel has a right to defend itself. Well, do the Gazans have a right to be liberated from an illegal military occupation, violating UN charter resolutions, violating international law, Geneva Conventions? Of course. But it's never posed that way. Now, since the American taxpayer is funding Israel to at least $3.1 billion a year and a lot of other assistance by loans that are often forgiven, and since the U.S. blocks any attempt in the U.N., which created Israel in 1947-48, from denouncing the massive loss of civilian life and children and women, and the attack by Israeli military of schools and hospitals and homes and public buildings, and nothing is off limits. Even the UN compounds, nothing is off limits. And the U.S. vetoes, threatens a veto on the Security Council. So President Obama, the least he should do, as I said in a letter to him the other day, is to launch a major humanitarian effort, because it's a major humanitarian crisis, to get water and medicine and food and shelter to these people.
That was citizen activist, author, and four-time independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader. His newest book is titled Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. Find a link to Ralph Nader's recent commentary on the Gaza War and related news articles by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.